So welcome everybody to today's class on the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, Text 3. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasyanucharitam Rajan Rishibhis Tattvadarshibhis Shrutam Hivarnitam Bhuri Tasyasitapatemu. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Modern Rakshasas, posing as educationally advanced merely because they have doctorates, have tried to prove that Lord Ramachandra is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary person. But those who are learned and spiritually advanced will never accept such notions. They will accept the descriptions of Lord Ramachandra and his activities only as presented by Tattvadarshis, those who know the Absolute Truth. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 34, the Supreme Personality of Godhead advises, Tadvidi pranipatena paripreshnena sevaya upadakshyate jnanam upadakshyantite jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Unless one is a tatvadarshi in complete knowledge of the Absolute Truth, one cannot describe the activities of the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although there are many so-called Ramayanas, or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities, some of them are not actually authoritative. Sometimes Lord Ramachandra's activities are described in terms of one's own imaginations, speculations, or material sentiments. But the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra should not be handled as something imaginary. While describing the history of Lord Ramachandra, Shukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit, "You have already heard about the activities of Lord Ramachandra. Apparently, therefore, 5,000 years ago, there were many Ramayanas, or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities, and there are many still. But we must select only those books written by Tattvadarshis, Jnaninas Tattvadarshinaha, not the books of so-called scholars who claim knowledge only on the basis of a doctorate." This is a warning by Shukadeva Goswami, Rishibhis Tattvadarshibhi. Although the Ramayana composed by Valmiki is a huge literature, the same activities are summarized here by Shukadeva Goswami in a few verses. So I'm going to read from a class given by Srila Prabhupada on the Ramayana, because, you know, it's the best. You can hear Prabhupada speaking himself. It's prefaced by a room conversation. Prabhupada is speaking. Rama Navami is upavas up till... Then there's a gap. Then he says, go to observing fasting up to the evening. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj asks, so moon, and he wants to finish moonrise, or something like that. Prabhupada says, sunset. So that's why we changed back. At one time, you might remember, even in the BBT calendar, we would have fasting till noon. But here's a room conversation of Prabhupada speaking and saying, fast till sunset. He speaks further about it, but I'm not going to go further. into why he says it should be done at sunset. But so today is Sri Ramanavami, Lord Ramachandra's appearance day, holy appearance day. Lord Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada spoke in Hawaii on March 27th, 1969. After a kirtan, Prabhupada chants the Mangala Acharana prayers and then says, Ramadi Murti Shukala Neme Natishtan Nana Vataram Akarod Bhuvane Shukintu Krishna Swayam Sambhavat Paramaha Pumanyo Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. This is text 39 from the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5. So this is a verse, Prabhupada speaking now. This is a verse from the Brahma Samhita in which the incarnation of Lord Ramachandra is described. Ramadi, not only Rama, but there are many other innumerable incarnations. They are compared with the waves of a river. As the waves of the river or the waves of the ocean cannot be counted, similarly, how many incarnations are there of the Supreme Lord, it is not possible to count. But out of them, the principal names are mentioned in the sastras. Therefore, it is said Ramadi. Ramadi means Rama and also other many incarnations. And they are existing. Not that one incarnation appeared and it is finished. No, not like that. Just like Lord Ramachandra appeared on this planet millions of years before. He appeared in the Treta Yuga. Treta Yuga means we have passed only 5,000 years of this age, Kali Yuga. Before that, there was Dwapar Yuga. Dwapar Yuga means 800,000 years. And before that, there was Treta Yuga, which continued for 1,200,000 years. That means at least 2 million years before, Lord Ramachandra appeared on this planet. So now, Lord Ramachandra appeared in Ayodhya. There is a place in Ayodhya, in northern India. There he appeared. As Krishna appeared in Mathura, that is also northern India. And Mathura is only 90 miles down southward from New Delhi. You have heard the name New Delhi, the capital of India. So Ayodhya is also situated about 500 miles northeast of New Delhi. So Lord Ramachandra appeared on this day. Today is called Sri Ramanavami. On the ninth day of the moon, Lord Ramachandra appeared. His father was the king of Ayodhya, and he had three wives. He had two wives. So out of two wives, he got four sons. Ramachandra is the eldest son. He's talking about how many had sons. Ramachandra is the eldest son. The life and activities of Lord Ramachandra is, then there's a break, in a book which is called Ramayana. You have heard the name of Ramayana. Ramayana also accepted as history. Vedic literatures are histories also. The Puranas, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata and Ramayana. They are counted amongst the history. Vedic literatures are histories also. The Mahabharata and Ramayana, they are also counted amongst history. The history of Ramachandra is that his father wanted to retire, Dasarath Maharaj, Dasaratha. And he decided to enthrone Lord Ramachandra and retire. So everything was settled. But just one day before, his youngest wife turned the whole thing into a different way. Sometimes Maharaj Dasarath was suffering from what is called whitlow, some trouble in the finger. And this queen served him very nicely and he was very pleased. And he said, my dear Sarmishta, if you want some benediction from me, I can give you. Now, there may be some differences from people who might describe why that boon was given. But because Lord Ramachandra appears thousand times in a day of Brahma, at different times he does different things. That's why it's authoritative to listen to Prabhupada. That's our system. This is a very important point because in the Nectar of Instruction, it is described by Rupa Goswami that the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement is actually to enter into the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. That is not possible to be done by anybody because it's a closed circle. It's not, you can't just get into the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But Lord, Rupa Goswami was very merciful, and he cracked open a slight window for people to enter, because out of his mercy, because he's one of the leading devotees there in that circle. And so in that line, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do the same thing. That's why we have to be very careful and listen to Srila Prabhupada, and be very strict in our following of Srila Prabhupada, not be into other things. And she replied that, I shall ask you for the benediction when I require it, not now. So just one day before Lord Ramachandra's coronation, she approached her husband, Maharaj Dasarath, and reminded him, my dear husband, you promised to give me some benediction, and I told you that I shall ask you when I require it. Maharaj Dasarath said, yes, and I remember. You want some benediction just now? She said, yes. And what is that? She said that Ramachandra cannot be seated on the throne. My son should be coronated, Bharata. He was surprised. It is a big demand. So he said, all right, that will be done, your son. Because formerly the kings, not only formerly, even up to date, there are many Kshatriya kings in India. They have more than one wife, and they are naturally, there is rivalry between the different wives. So the same thing, human psychology is the same. Even 2 million years ago, the same mentality was there. And she asked that, my son should be the king, not Ramachandra. Ramachandra happened to be the son of Kaushalya, the elder queen. So Maharaj Dasarath agreed and called for Ramachandra. My dear boy, she asked also that, she was very diplomatic. She wanted that Ramachandra go to the forest for 14 years. The idea was political, that, quote, the king may agree to install my son just now. Now after a few days, this Ramachandra may come with his army and there can be some difficulty to continue the kingdom. That's why I sent him away for 14 years. It won't be a problem. So he wanted that Ramachandra should go to the forest and he should not come back till the end of 14 years from this day. So Maharaj Dasarath agreed, because he was a Kshatriya. Just see the promise. A Kshatriya never goes back from the promise, never refuses any challenge. If a Kshatriya is challenged by somebody that I want to fight with you, oh, he cannot refuse. This is Kshatriya spirit. He cannot say, I'm now busy. Suppose somebody comes to you and says, I want to fight with you. You may say, what nonsense fight? I have no time. We are in the temple. But the Kshatriya cannot deny that. Prabhupada says, but the Kshatriya cannot deny that. A Kshatriya at once must accept, oh yes, come on. And the weapon should be, if he has no sword or weapon, he should be supplied weapon and fight. This is Kshatriya spirit. They were very charitable and chivalrous and keeping promise and with a great tendency for ruling over. They shall rule over administrators. Their business is, and then Prabhupada, there's a gap, and he says, there are different prescriptions for different classes of men for their livelihood. The brahmanas, they can pull on their livelihood by 6 ways. Patana, patana, Jagannayajana, Dana, Patigraha, 6. And they must be qualified with 12 high qualities. We have many times discussed, out of that qualification, truthfulness is the first item for a Brahmana. A Kshatriya may speak lies. That is allowed, because he has to be a diplomat, politician. But a Brahmana, oh, he is not allowed to speak lie. This is a system, caste system over an ashram system. Everyone was trained. Because these 4 classes of men are required in a society, for proper upkeep of society, 1 class of men must be very intelligent, highly qualified, with all good qualities. They must be trained in that way, ideal character, so that people can see and follow them. Therefore, Brahmanas were taken to so much respect because their ideal character, learned and godly, knows the science, spiritual science. Therefore, they're held in high estimation and topmost of the society. The next, the administrative class, Kshatriyas, they are trained how to kill. The Kshatriyas were allowed to hunt in the forest to learn the art of killing, because that was necessary for the Kshatriyas. Kshatriya, if the king, if he finds somebody is doing wrong, he can immediately chop off his head if he likes. My God. The king was so powerful. It is not that if there was some war, it is not that the president or the king shall sit down comfortably at home and ordinary soldiers will go and lay down their life. No. Formerly, the king or the head of the state, he should first of all be there to fight. God there to fight. So he's right in the front line, not sitting at the back. You see in the picture, the chief men of the fighting in the Kurukshetra, both sides, they were arrayed this side, that side with their chariot. Not that the head man, the chief man or the commander is taking shelter backside, protecting himself. And poor soldiers are, he chuckles, thrown into the fighting. No. These were Kshatriya spirit. These were Kshatriya spirit, Prabhupada says. And it is necessary that a class of men should be trained up in that way. Kshatriyas, fighting men. In India, because this training was there since a very long time, there is no difficulty in recruiting soldiers there. There is a class of men, they're very much forward in fighting still. They are called, just like the Gurkhas, the Nepalese. You have heard the name of Nepal? Still a small state, independent state. They are not within India, between China and India. The whole Nepal population, they are Kshatriyas. Oh, they are very good fighters. Similarly, the Sikhs and the Jats. Jats, you know, the Jats. They are classes. So, they're always forward for fighting. And you'll be surprised that the British Empire was voluntarily liquidated because they lost in India. The Britishers, they understood that because we are now losing India, there is no more possibility to keeping our Eastern Empire. Therefore, they liquidated. Why? Actually, the whole British Empire were being administered or managed by Indian soldiers, these Sikhs and Gurkhas. They extended the empire. After taking their position with India, they extended British Empire in the Middle East and Far East simply by the Sikhs and Gurkha soldiers. They got supremacy on Burma and everywhere. So, there is a necessity of a class of fighting men. You are finding in your country difficulty in recruiting because the recruiting process is wrong. You are recruiting from persons. You are training persons just like Shudras and you want them to fight? How they can fight? It is not possible. Prabhupada is so wrong. So, it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Chaturvarnya Maya Srishtam, Guna Karma Vibhagasha, 4.13. Lord Krishna said, the four classes or orders of society, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, is planned by me according to work and quality. So, the Kshatriya quality man is also required. The Brahmin quality of man is also required. And mercantile community, they're also required. And the laborer class, they're also required. Of course, laborer class, they do not require any training. Laborer becoming Kshatriya, Laborer class means one who cannot do anything. Neither become Brahmin. No become Kshatriya, no become Vaishya. Oh my God. That means the last balance of the population. They're called laborer class, Shudra. Shudra means one who has no training. Shudra has no sanskara. Sanskara means training. Everyone is accepted as Shudra by birth. Everyone. Janma jayate Shudra. Janma means by birth. By birth, everyone is born Shudra. Fourth class man. It is to be accepted, and actually so. Just like a child, innocent child. What does he know? He has to be trained. Either you train him as a Brahmin, or train him as a Kshatriya, or train him as a Vaishya. Or otherwise, he's Shudra already, born Shudra. Shudra has no training. Everyone, the basic principle, basic foreground, everyone, it is accepted, Shudra. Now, if you train him as a Brahmin, then he becomes a Brahmana. If you train him as a Kshatriya, then he becomes a Kshatriya. If you train him as a Vaishya, so I think this system is very scientific. So that if you want to help, so that if you want help of a really intelligent man or God-realized man, it is ready, the Brahmin class. Just like if you require the help of a lawyer, you have got so many lawyers. if you require the help of medical men, because they are trained. Similarly, the society requires to train a certain class of men to become brahmanas. Just like we are training the Krishna conscious. The Krishna consciousness is meant for the brahmanas. They are not meant for fighting, because they are not being trained for fighting. They have been trained for becoming brahmanas. Who is brahmana? Brahma janati iti brahmana. The four divisions are described like this. Janma jayati shudra, everyone is born shudra, that is accepted. Sanskarat bhavat dvijaha. Now if you train him, never mind in which family he is born, you have to train him. Just like boys are sent to school for being trained. So everyone is accepted as shudra. But now you train him, he goes to the guru griha. Guru griha means teacher's house. Formerly for being trained, there was no such big scale school and colleges. Every village still, 50 years before in India, in every village there was a small school conducted by the brahmana. And the village children would be trained up there. So he was sent for training, and there was no school fee. The boys will go there, and on behalf of the teacher or spiritual master, they will go, brahmachari, door to door, and beg and bring forth alms, rice, dal, grains, and everything. That was the system. There was no school fee. There was no problem how to send a boy to the school. Sanskara, now he's trained up. The teacher sees the psychology of the boy, in which way he should be trained. Either he should be trained as Vaishya or he should be trained as Kshatriya. So everyone was trained like that. But generally the son of a Kshatriya, just like Maharaj Ramachandra or Arjuna, from the very beginning they were trained as Kshatriya. Naturally, if someone is the son of a medical man, his father trains him to become a medical man in the future. That is the natural tendency. If the boy is different altogether, that is another question. But naturally, that is the tendency. So a Kshatriya son was trained as Kshatriya. A Brahmin's son was trained as a Brahmin, and a Vaishya's son was trained as a Vaishya. And Shudras had no training. So, gradually, this became a caste system. Brahmin's son became Brahmana, because formerly the training was there. But when it is vitiated, although a person born in the family of a Brahmana, he is doing the work of a Shudra. So according to Vedic scripture, one is classified according to his work and quality, not by birth. That is the classification of Shastra. Just like the Bhagavad Gita, Lord says, Chaturvarnyam Mayashishtam, Guna Karma Vibhagashah. 4.13, Guna means quality and karma means work. One must be qualified for the work and he must actually work. Then he is counted classified into that, I mean to say category. Just like if you are simply trained or educated as a lawyer, and if you're not practicing in the court, nobody comes to you to consult as a lawyer. Nobody cares for you. You must be practicing also. Similarly, to become a Brahmin means, first of all, he must know what is Brahman, and he must be actually situated in the activities of Brahman. So devotional service are the activities of Brahman. Activities in Krishna consciousness means activities in Brahman. Brahme charite iti brahma brahmachari. Charati means act. Actually, he acts in life, applies the principles of Brahmana in his life. He is called brahmachari. So these were the trainings. So just see how the training was. The Kshatriya cannot refuse his promise. So Maharaj Dasarath, he fulfilled the promise of his youngest wife and asked his son, eldest son Ramachandra, my dear boy, you'll have to go to the forest for 14 years. That is the desire of your youngest mother. And I promise that I shall fulfill her promise, request. So please accept. Ramachandra said, yes, father, I am ready. Just see. This is the quality. Out of the six opulences of God, this is one quality. Ishvarasya, samagrasya, viryasya, yashaha, shriyaha. Jnana vairagyos cheva shanam bhagam iti ingana. How one becomes God? God is not manufactured by vote. There are definitions. Who is God? God must be the proprietor of all the riches. Ishvarasya, samagrasya. Samagra means all. Nobody can compete with him. Here in this world, material world, I am a rich man, and there is another rich man who can compete with me. There is another rich man who can compete with him. But nobody can compete with God in richness. That is one qualification of God. Nobody can say, I am richer than God. You can say, I am richer than Ford or Rockefeller or this or that. You can say, but nobody can say, I am richer than God. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Mattaha parataram nanyat asti kinchit dhananjaya. Mattaha parataram nanyat kinchit asti dhananjaya. Bhagavad Gita 7:7. Dhananjaya is the name of Arjuna. And Krishna said that, Mighty Arjuna, there is nobody greater than me. So if anyone claims that he is God, he must prove by practical example that nobody is richer than him. That is the first. But unfortunately, we are accepting so many gods. A rascal in the street, he also claims, I am God. So similarly, the other qualification, nobody can be stronger than God. Nobody can be wiser than God. Nobody can be more beautiful than God. And nobody can be more renouncer than God. Prabhupada's words, renouncer. So here, Ramachandra, Lord Ramachandra exhibited the quality how he renounced the whole kingdom simply on the order of his father. His obedience to his father. He could have argued with his father, My dear father, you simply for keeping your promise and actuated by the dictation of a woman, you are doing this? Let us stop it. Everyone is expecting that tomorrow my coronation will be there. And they love me so much. Close quotes. Because he, just like Krishna, was so much loved. Similarly, Lord Ramchandra was the life of the people. They were very much expecting that Ramchandra was going to be enthroned tomorrow. So how they were celebrating, how they were decorating the whole city, everything. He never argued. He accepted immediately. Yes, Father, I am ready. So then one of the brothers, Lakshmana, he also requested Ramchandra, My dear brother, you also take me. I am your constant companion. I must go with you. So he said, That's your wish? Voluntarily, if you want to come, you can come with me. Then Sita, his wife, young wife, she also said, I'll go with you. Ramchandra requested his wife, Oh, you cannot go with me. It's very difficult. You are a king's daughter, and you are brought up in such nice way, and you're so beautiful. You cannot go. You cannot take the trouble of living in the forest. So she said, Oh, I'm your wife, married wife. So, Oh my God. So I must go, even if you go to hell. This is ideal wife. She could have refused. Oh, your father has ordered you to go to the forest? You can go. I shall go to my father's house, and I shall remain here. Prabhupada is such a comedian. No, this is ideal wife. She must be prepared to accept any circumstances of the husband. Not that when the husband is rich, the wife is very faithful, and when he has come down to be poor, or he's going to the forest, the wife gives up his company. No, wife means better half. She must abide, just like it is said, just like a shadow follows the reality. Similarly, the wife is the shadow of the husband. Wherever the husband goes, she must go. Whatever the husband wants, she must carry out. Of course, in this country, this interpretation is taken differently, that wife is made a slave. But actually, it is not so. When Sita was kidnapped in the jungle, Ramachandra expected that she was beautiful, she was young, and we shall be in the open jungle. It may be some demons may come, and actually it so happened. So for Sita, Lord Ramachandra massacred the whole family of Ravan. Only for Sita. So as the husband, so the wife. So Prabhupada is saying, both of them very high level of commitment. The wife was so faithful that she could not remain alone. She must accompany the husband, even in the forest. And then the husband was so faithful. Oh, my wife has been kidnapped, so he massacred the whole family of Ravan. So these are ideal history. How Ramachandra, Lord Ramachandra, appeared on this world, to educate or to place ideal example of a king, how the king should be. Therefore, when there is good government, the example is given Ram Rajya. Ram Rajya, it is the kingdom of Lord Rama. Because everyone is happy. Everyone was happy. Everyone. There were so many instances in the life of Ramachandra. One Brahmana, not Brahmana actually, somebody came to Ramachandra, because at that time there was no court like this, that you have to go to court and apply with stamp fee. Then your judgment will be delivered after 6 years. It is not like that. It's India. In India, cases go on till about 800 years in some cases. Can you imagine how many generations are fighting that case? Anyone who has got some complaint, he should. The king used to sit in the open audience, and the citizens were allowed to approach the king and place their complaints. Because there was no complaint, practically everyone was very happy. Very minor complaint. So somebody came to Ramachandra and he charged Ramachandra, "My dear king, my son has died." "How is that? In the presence of his father, son can die?" That's his complaint. "There must be something wrong in your government." "Just see," Prabhupada says. "The charge is, why my son died before my death? That is unnatural." So, there was nothing unnatural at that time. Nothing unnatural. The king was responsible even for severe cold, severe heat. Then we got from history of that we got from history of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is stated. So the kings were so much responsible. They were always thinking of the happiness of the citizens. And the citizens were also so nice. One citizen approached Lord Ramachandra, and his next assistant, his brother Lakshmana, informed him that he is Brahmana. "You were absent on your tour for a fortnight or a month, and this Brahmana has not eaten even a drop of water during your absence. Why? Because he comes here to see you, Darshana, just like we come here in the temple to see the deity. So Lord Ramachandra was present personally. So he used to come after seeing Ramachandra offering his obeisances, then we'd go home and take something, his breakfast." So Lord Ramachandra went on a tour for 2 weeks. So he didn't have darshan of Lord Ramachandra, so he didn't take even a drop of water. Talk about being an ideal citizen, huh? That was his vow. And because he could not see for a fortnight or a month Lord Ramachandra, because he was out on political tour, he did not eat even. Just see, the citizens were similar to the king. So at that time, there was a statue of Lord Ramachandra that was being worshipped in the family from Maharaj Ikshvaku. Maharaj Ikshvaku, the son of Manu, happens to be the forefather of the family in which Ramachandra appeared. He was devotee of Lord Rama, and he was worshipping the statue of Lord Rama. This is the forefather, worshipping the statue of Lord Rama. So that statue was being worshipped by the family one after another. But when Ramachandra was actually present, he kept the statue in a closet of the room. So he put his own statue in. Man named Kalachandji turned up here and then put his own statue in a closet. Because he's here himself, you know. You don't need a statue, though. And when this Brahmana approached, Ramachandra was informed by Lakshmana that he is so steady and strong in his vow, so Ramachandra ordered that he may be delivered that statue, so that in my absence he can offer respect to the statue and do with this. So he was given the whole statue, one person. That form, I mean to say statue or archer of Ramachandra, is still existing in South India. Wow. It is being worshipped from that time. So these were the dealings of Lord Ramachandra. Then he, his younger brother Lakshmana, and his wife went to the forest. And his wife was kidnapped by the diplomacy of the demon Ravana. And there was a fight between Rama and Ravana. Ravana was very materialistically, he was very strong. But the thing is, for fighting with Ravana, Ramachandra did not come back to his kingdom and take his army. No. He didn't come back to the kingdom and say, "Okay, let me bring my army, now I'm going to fight Ravana," right? No. No. He did not come back because he was ordered to live in the forest. So he organized army of jungle animals, the monkeys, the monkeys. He fought with Ravana and organized materialists with the monkeys. You have seen the picture? And he constructed a bridge between India's last point to the other side. Ceylon is considered to be the kingdom of Ravana. So there was a bridge and the stones were floating. So there are so many historical incidences in the life of Ramachandra. And we should remember, because if we remember why we are observing today fasting for Ramachandra, there were many kings like Ramachandra. Because the kings were trained in that way, Maharaj Yudhishthira was also as good as Ramachandra, and Maharaj Parikshit was as good. There were so many such kings, but we are not concerned because he was a king. He is the king of all kings, Parameshvara, because he is God. Therefore, we are observing today. Ramadi Murtishu Kalaniyamena Tishtan. So, he is not original form of God. The original form of God is Krishna. And Krishna expands himself in various other forms. Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. Anantarupam means millions and millions. The Manu is also incarnation of Krishna. So in one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. 7 during the day and 7 during the night. So Brahma lives for 100 years. Just see how many incarnations of Manu are there even for one Brahma. That means that's 1400 Manus, right? 100 times 14. 1400 Manus in the life of Brahma. Just see how many incarnations of Manus there are even for one Brahma, and there are innumerable Brahmas also. So how many incarnations? So as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that nobody can count how many incarnations are there, but some of the chief incarnations are mentioned, and Lord Ramachandra is one of them. So Lord Ramachandra, he killed Ravana and he installed his brother. His brother was devotee, Vibhishan. So he did not go to conquer Ceylon because he was emperor. He went to punish the culprit, Ravan, and he installed Ravan's younger brother, Vibhishan, in that. And he came back with Sita, and again he was installed after 14 years, and his brother was so faithful that so long his eldest brother was away, Ramachandra requested him that your mother wants that you should be king, and I also wish that in my absence you should be king, Bharata. So, Bharat, he was so faithful, brother. He replied, no, you are king. So long you are living, nobody can be king. So I cannot be king. Then he requested, at least you administer. Because after the departure of Lord Ramachandra, Maharaj Dasarath died out of the shock because Ramachandra was his very pet son. Dasarath died out of the shock because Ramachandra was his very pet son, eldest son. He was going to be king, and by his order he has sent to the forest. The father could not tolerate the shock. He died. So Ramachandra's life, God's activities, pastimes, if we hear, that means we are associating with Ramachandra. There is no difference between his form, his name, his pastimes, and himself. He is absolute. Therefore, either you chant the holy name of Ram, or you see the statue of Ram, or you talk of his pastimes, transcendental pastimes. Everything, that means you are associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we take advantage of these days when the incarnation of God appears or disappears, and we try to associate with him. By his association, we become purified. Our process is purification. Krishna consciousness means simply we are purifying our consciousness. From birth, as I have explained, everyone is Shudra. Shudra means one who laments. Wow. Shudra means one who laments. That is called Shudra. For slight loss or slight inconvenience, one who laments, he is called Shudra. The Brahmana means one who tolerates. A Shudra has no toleration. So Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Kalo means the age of Kali Yuga. So it is the statement of the Shastras that in this age the whole population is Shudra. And formerly also. By his birth, everyone was considered Shudra. But there was training, samskara. At the present moment, there is no samskara. There is no training. The training is only for earning livelihood now. No other training. How one can earn money and enjoy something? his breakfast. That is his vow. And because he could not see for a fortnight or a month, So he says, the training is only for earning livelihood, no other training. How one can earn money and enjoy senses, that is the training of the present moment. But actually, to make successful the human life, or the mission of human life, the Vedic culture is very nice. And by spreading Krishna consciousness, by adopting the process of Krishna consciousness, you can revive that cultural life, sublime life. It is not wholesale. If there are a few people trained up in this line, and they become ideal examples of the society, immense benefit can be derived from their examples of life. Then Prabhupada asks, what is time? And then he takes a break, kirtan starts, and class comes to an end. So this is class by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, 27th March 1969, the appearance of Lord Ramachandra and Ram Navami, Hawaii, USA. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki jai, Shri Ramanami Mahatsava ki jai. So always nice to hear from Shri Prabhupada, so very clear and very to the point. So today in the evening we'll have a celebration, continuous celebration also. At 6:30 there'll be a Abhishek. Abhishek will happen on the temple floor, so everybody gets a chance to bathe the deities. The deities are now on the altar, on Gauranitai's altar, and Sitaram, Lakshman and Hanuman. And sometimes people bring their old deities also, their Ramachandra also. So there may be a number of deities there, and everybody gets to bathe. This is an opportunity, you know. Lord Ramachandra is a very, very merciful personality. It's called Maryada Purushottam, means that he actually established the highest morals. Maryada means morality. Actually, the word morality comes from the word Maryada. So Lord Ramachandra introduced how one can be ideal king, ideal husband, ideal son, ideal father, like that. In every role that he played, he was very ideal, you know, Kshatriya, because he was a Kshatriya king, like that. And he spoke very nice. When he went to Ahobalam, he went to visit Lord Nrsingadev in Ahobalam, the temple of Lord Nrsingadev. At that time, Lord Nrsingadev had already appeared and gone. So they built a temple of Lord Nrsingadev in Ahobalam, which is where he appeared. And Lord Ramachandra prayed to Lord Nrsingadev. It's called the Nrsinga Panchamrita. At the end of the Panchamrita, it is said that this is the best of prayers, called the Panchamrita of five nectars, compiled by Lord Ramachandra himself. One who reads this will certainly be liberated eternally. Oh, nice. Anyway, you're supposed to read it, so I'm not going to read it for you, because you got to read it yourself. But I can make copies of this. It's nice that on this day, I'm going to read the translation anyway. I think the translation is good. The first verse says, the glorious Rama once, sorry, this is before that. It says, the glorious Rama once visited Ahobala, where he saw the deity of Lord Nrsinga. He offered his obeisances to Lord Kamalapati, because he's the husband of the goddess of fortune. She's known as Kamala. And prayed as follows. O Govinda, Keshava, Janardana, Vasudeva, Visvesha, the controller of the universe, Vishva, Madhusudana, Vishvarupa, Sri Padmanabha, Pushottama, Pushkaraksha, Narayana, Achyuta, O Lord Nrsinga, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Text 2. I have taken shelter of Lord Nrsinga, unto whose lotus feet demigods, prominent yogis, Gandharvas, Vidyaharas, and Kinnaras are constantly offering their obeisances. Text 3. I have taken shelter of Lord Nrsingadev, by whose mercy people receive all the Vedas, the essence of all scriptures, knowledge, strength, reputation, and wealth. By the way, in the previous Manvantara, Lord Nrisimhadev was the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Nrisimhadev himself is the incarnation of Krishna to show that he really loves his devotee and how he will shelter his devotee under all circumstances. So in the previous Manvantara, Lord Nrisimhadev's mantra was the Maha Mantra. In our Manvantara, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the Maha Mantra. So you can see that Lord Ramachandra is offering obeisances like that. Fourth verse, it says, "You are Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the best person, Lord Narayana. You are the master of the Maruts, and you are the sun, the moon, the air, and the fire, as well as the Marut Ganas. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you." You know, you can see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that. I am, you know, the different things that he is mentioning here and other things. Text 5. "I offer my obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadev, who is the creator, the maintainer, and the destroyer of the entire universe. Although you performed all of these acts simultaneously, you are completely beyond these activities. You are all-pervading, unlimited Supreme Spirit." Then it says, "Praying this way, the best of the Raghus, Lord Ramachandra, worshipped Lord Hari. At that time, the demigod showered a rain of flowers on the head of Lord Nrisimhadev." Jai. Sri Nrisimhadev Bhagavan Ki Jai. So, even with Lord Nrisimhadev, you know, one of the Gaudiya preachers who felt that he had better understanding than Srila Prabhupada about spiritual life, said actually that there was no need for us to worship Lord Nrisimhadev, you know. And so in his system, this prayer that we have for Lord Nrisimhadev that Prabhupada introduced is not there. But one very easy answer to him was, to defeat him, is that Krishna is described as the head of all, the fountainhead of all incarnations. Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam. And it is said that Ekela Ishvara Krishna Arasabha Britya, meaning that all the incarnations of Krishna are his servants. So when we go to Golok Vrindavan, the incarnations are there too, in Golok Vrindavan. Sometimes we think, well, I really like Lord Ramachandra, you know. So, but then you're scared, if I then build a nice relationship with him, maybe I won't go back to Golok Vrindavan, I'll end up in Ayodhya, which is nice also. But I want to go to Vrindavan because I want to be with Krishna and Radharani, like that. So the answer that's given is that when you go to Golok Vrindavan, in our system, all of them are there. Lord Nrisimhadev is also serving. He's also picking flowers and giving, offering flowers to Krishna and Radharani with us in the garden. Everyone is there. Lord Ramachandra is also there. Lord Ramachandra is actually Radharani's bodyguard. He is her bodyguard. And that's originally where he carries the bow and the arrow. That's why he carried the bow and the arrow when he came here too. Because originally he is the bodyguard of Radharani. So like that, we have everybody there. You don't miss anybody. That's the only place where you'll get everybody. Other places you will not. You'll get whoever is the presiding deity of that place. But in Golok Vrindavan and in Navadvip, these two places, all the incarnations are there. So nice, isn't it? You get to meet all the incarnations. And they're on an equal level with the devotees. They're not higher than the devotees. They're on an equal level. Everybody is on an equal level. There's no higher and lower, you know, like in the Madhurya Ras, they're all in equal level. So it's amazing how that happens. It's really amazing. So obviously he didn't know that. Prabhupada knew that. So Prabhupada gave us the worship of Lord Nrisimhadev and the prayers of Lord Nrisimhadev. Such important prayers. Anybody like to say anything? Make comments? Yes, bro.
There's a new book that can only be offered at Amazon.com, but it's about Lord Ram.
Oh,
and it's very nice. It's done by this young engineering student, and he's a graphic artist, and the artwork is very. It's all artwork. Is all it is, with text.
Right.
And it's not impersonal or anything like that. It just tells a story. But it's all artwork, and it's about 300 pages long, and it's very beautiful. But the text is, the artwork is very Cartoon Network style.
Yeah.
And but it's very amazing when you open the cover, it shows all of these animals and Lord Ram and Lakshman running toward the sea, and everyone behind Lord Ram and Lakshman has a rock in their hand, and they're running very fast. And on the rock in Sanskrit, it says Ram. And this is how the whole book starts. And it's not, it is not written like Ramayana. It's done in sections to give you different aspects of his life. It is very good. But it is only offered on the internet. I just wanted to let people know that if they would like to see this, they can go on and look at it.
Nice. At the, when we were at the GBC meeting also, there's a, some devotees coming up with a new picture book. You know, we have the Krishna book, the Krishna art book, you know. So one with Lord Ramchandra, just called Lord Ramchandra. It's the Ramayana, but in art form. And, you know, so plates and plates of paintings, actually. They're paintings by, I think it's just one devotee who's done all the paintings and showing the Ramayana in art form. So the book should be released, they said, in 2012.
In the general group, we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. When we chant Ram, we're chanting Ram's name and also Balaram?
Yeah, Rama is Rama. When we see that these Ramas, they have a gradation, starting with Parshurama, then Lord Ramachandra, then Balarama, then Krishna, then Radharani. So these are the five Ramas. So each of the Ramas has the other Ramas all included. Any, like if you go to Radharani, all the other Ramas are included. So we don't particularly force ourselves to think in any particular way. We just think that, well, Prabhupada said we think of Rama as the reservoir of pleasure. That he is the reservoir of pleasure. The name Rama means reservoir of pleasure. And of course, Radharani is the reservoir of pleasure. Krishna is also Lord Balaram also, Lord Ramchandra also. And so is Parshuram, like that. So we don't quite generally force ourselves on any one of them. Naturally, one of them will manifest. And like, you know, I was saying, the neck of instruction, we are told that our purpose is to aspire to the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna, to understand and enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So in that, the Rama for us is Radharani. See what I'm saying? Now, Balaram is also there. Because there are two, in the conjugal pastimes, there are two parts. There is the in union, and then there's the in separation. In union, there are three principal deities. Krishna, Radharani, and Balaram. And on the in separation, there are the five principal deities called the Pancha Tattva. And, you know, represented generally by Gaur Nithai in our line. The Pancha Tattva is the in separation principal deities of conjugal rasa. On the in union side, conjugal rasa is Radharani, Krishna, and Lord Balaram. Because Lord Balaram also has his rasa lila and things like that. So we want to enter the pastimes. When we enter the pastimes, then our position will be known. What is our relationship? And then, so then, the chanting of the holy name brings us to that point. The nectar of instruction describes very nicely that if you chant really nicely, you'll come to the point of bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. And in prema bhakti, we'll come to know our full position, our original position in the spiritual world, in terms of the relationship with Radha and Krishna and Lord Balaram. In union and on the separation side with Lord Gauranga, Lord Nityananda, Lord Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit Srivast Thakur on the other side in separation. Because generally, devotees go to both places. They get the fullest benefit. That's the advantage of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu's appearance. It is said Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu's appearance is so great that prior to Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu's appearance, people didn't even know there was going to be an incarnation called Gauranga. Even though it's written clearly in the scriptures, they would read it, but they wouldn't understand it. So that's how great Gauranga Mahaprabhu is. And only his devotees can enter into these pastimes like this. Nobody else can. They're considered the greatest of all devotees. That is why we recommend people to read about Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his pastimes. It's very important for us to maintain that. And I often say that the other day, Ajaswat Prabhu was making this point very strongly, you know, that earlier on in the movement, Lord Chaitanya was like the principal person that people speak about. Today we speak so much more about Lord Krishna. And what happens lost in translation is the fact that we may not be attached to Lord Chaitanya. That's lost in translation. If we're not attached to Lord Chaitanya, there is no way you're going to get Krishna. That's just your imagination, you know, working overtime, thinking that I will. But, you know, we do that all the time. Like Prabhupada said, people think, I'm God. Maybe a rascal on the street, but I'm God. You know, like that. They're thinking like that. So we're thinking, yeah, I'll build my relationship with Krishna. You're not going to get any relationship anywhere unless you first, you know, have the relationship with the guru, and then through the guru to the parampara, to the six Goswamis, to Lord Nityananda and Lord Gauranga, then to Radha and Krishna and Balaram, like that. That's how it's just, that's the system, you know. It's just like people say, you know, I'll become a medical doctor, but they refuse to go to elementary school, middle school, and high school. They're not going to become a doctor. They have to go. Not that, by the way, these are elementary people. They're not elementary. The guru is not elementary. I'm not saying that by any means. I'm just giving... There's a problem with analogies. The analogies are never perfect. But the point is, you have to go through those steps. And, you know, Prabhupada described that the Super Soul is actually the Supreme Lord of our life. And the spiritual master and the associates sitting in the heart is the spiritual... is what we mean when we say... Super Soul, Paramatma, like that. So they're always together. Guru is never separated from Krishna, Lord, and Lord Chaitanya, and the six Goswamis, and the Parampara, and Lord Brahma, Balaram, like that, never. Neither are the Goswamis. So they're all together. It's like a family, you know? Family is always together, right? I mean, even if they're separated, they're thinking of one another, they're supposed to be together. In separation, that's one thing, but in together, so those are the two ways the family is together, either in union or in separation. So this is the family, and so we have to understand the position of each of the family members. Other questions, points? No? Well, it's now 10 to 9, so thank you very much. All glories to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Gaura Bhakta Brinda ki jai. Shri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripasindubhyaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.